Here at Farm Progress Show, with me is Tom Bias with Growth Energy. He's just stopping by for a few minutes before he goes to the Republican National Convention down in Tampa. And one of the big issues right now with the ethanol industry is the calls for a waiver of the renewable fuel standard. And Tom, what is Growth Energy doing about that right now?
Well, we're obviously trying to present the facts out there. And those people that are calling for a waiver often don't either understand the process that's contained in the RFS and all the flexibility built in for just these kind of situations with the drought, but also because they're willing to interfere in a marketplace. The market will sort out the best and highest use for corn. It always does. We never run out of corn. We never run out of any commodity. Supply and demand will work, and for people not to panic, you know, a lot of folks out there are using misinformation. The one that really is egregious is this, that we use 40% of the corn crop. That's a gross number. That's like gross income versus net income. We only use about 16% of the nation's corn acreage once you account for the displacement of corn acres, because the distiller's grains is a high value, high protein. All the oil, all the fiber and protein out of that kernel of corn goes back in to livestock feed, but it also displaces soybean meal. And when you add that up, it's 16% of the corn crop. And for those people saying, well, the only thing we can do is just stop the demand for ethanol when there's thousands of uses for corn, it's like they're sending, it's like they're putting a domestic grain embargo on one use that's really been the driver of this farm economy. And why we would want to risk that for a temporary situation is beyond me.
And you're trying to educate both the president and the governors who are calling for this RFS waiver.
Absolutely. Yesterday, the Biofuels Producers Council, which is made up with all the organizations that represent ethanol, as well as advanced fuels and next generation fuels, cellulosic, we sent a letter to the president encouraging him to stand strong against these attempts, really, to mess with the most successful energy policy our nation's seen in the since the first oil embargo in the early 70s. And then we also sent a letter, General Clark and I, to the governors who filed these waivers and said, you know, the data and the information they submitted was just flat out wrong. And, you know, if you want to have a debate about this, let's have a debate about the facts, not about the fiction.
Now, here at the Farm Progress Show, we're seeing a lot of American ethanol around here. Of course, Growth Energy, a partnership in American ethanol. And here, also with New Holland. Tell us a little bit about some of the things you're doing here.
Yeah, New Holland's an exciting partner with American ethanol and with Growth Energy and in really getting out there and promoting the benefits of ethanol and what it's meant to the rural economy. And it's great to see their combines and tractors with American ethanol and their banners and talking about energy independence and value to rural America out there.
Well, and American ethanol, of course, is the NASCAR thing. And how has that been going to you? This is, what, the second year, right?
Yeah, we're about two-thirds of the way through the second year. It's going really well. We're reaching a lot of people that otherwise have no information about the benefits of ethanol. And, you know, when they have 4 or 5 million people watching every race, and you see all the American ethanol from the green flag to the race cars to the restarts, we get a lot of coverage. And that was our goal, was a lot of people don't understand the benefits of ethanol. All they've heard from is the well-financed vested interests that want to see our industry not succeed. So we're excited about it. NASCAR's got a broad reach. 1 in 4 adults are NASCAR fans. You know, they have 80 million followers, and they've been running E15 for now almost 3 million miles without a problem, increased horsepower, no fuel loss, and no engine problems.
Now, getting back to the whole RFS and the corn crop and the drought this year, we have seen some ethanol plants close. And that's what you're talking about here as far as supply and demand is concerned. The market is already regulating itself as far as ethanol production is concerned, right?
Absolutely. The market will regulate itself. It has in the past. It is currently. Ethanol production's down about 15% from last year. Other uses will moderate as well. And then prices will come down. We'll have another big crop next year. Probably an all-time record, because high prices is usually the cure for high prices. Farmers are great at producing. In fact, they overproduce most of the time. And that's why you still, after we get through this rough spot, need that demand from ethanol as well as all the other uses so we can keep this rural economy humming.
Are you worried that if a waiver is granted, that that could really mean possibly the end of the RFS?
Well, you never know once they start tinkering with it. But I think the big fear is you stop next generation biofuels altogether. Anyone who's thinking about investing the hundreds of millions of dollars in a commercial refinery to produce it from a cellulosic feedstock is going to stop and think, well, you know, we can't count on the government programs into the future if they're going to change their mind every time you have a little bobble. It's no different than what's happening down in the Gulf today. You know, we're not going to quit using oil because the hurricane's going to disrupt your refineries. We've seen that picture in the past. No different. This is a act of Mother Nature. Ethanol didn't make it stop raining. Ethanol didn't cause the pastures to dry up, although, you know, some people would like to blame us for it.
All right, thank you very much, Tom Bias, here at the Farm Progress Show. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.